Thank you, Paul. All right. Well, if you hadn't noticed, we have some new fun toys. And they told us that they were installed, but they weren't sure how they would work. So I said, hey, I will see how well they work. So we're going to try it. And I'll start off with, we're going to start a new series. And so if you're new to the class, maybe you heard about the class and you wanted to show up, there's around this table back there, there's some little cards, and you can give us your name and your email address, and love to include you on the weekly email if you're not part of that. But we'll just let you know what's going on in the class. But we are starting a new series, Playing by Heart, and let me introduce this with a with one of my favorite videos. Good. So when my kids were little, and I still have two little ones, but I've kind of moved away from this. But when my first two were born, I didn't really know any bedtime lullabies, and so, you know, I sang a lot of Elton John and Don McLean, and so they really attached themselves to Miss American Pie, as you can see. And the highlight of that was years later they were in a Sunday school class. Actually, it wasn't that long later than this. It was probably just a year or so later. And my oldest at the time, I mean, here he's like 3 and a half, 4. And he was probably 5 or 6. And they said, probably 5. And they said, does anybody know any songs to sing? It's Sunday morning. And they were like substitute teachers. They were like substitute teachers. So they didn't know what songs to sing with the kids. And my 5-year-old is like right here. And starts singing Miss American Pie. And they were like, well, that's different. So pastor's kid. And so it hasn't ended there. My kids love music. They're crazy about music. Most recently, somehow, they discovered this nightmare. And this is... I hear this all the time. It's constant. It's constant in my house all the time. I get this. Music is something that's really important to me, and it's been a part of my life for a long, long time, and it's part of our family's life. And I think that music is one of the unique gifts of God. And God has given us music, and it does a variety of things. One is it's actually very pedagogical, right? We learn through music. My kids learned the books of the Bible through song, right? They didn't just sit there and learn, you know, memorize them the way that I did, but my kids actually got to learn them through music. So one of the reasons that we go into the worship service and we sing is not just to sing melody, but we are singing words that in that is teaching us and is teaching us theology of God. But then also there is that musical component that then engages us in a way that just if we just read the words wouldn't. Or if we just read the words, it wouldn't. So there's something about music that both teaches us, but it also connects us with the transcendent. It's God engaging us holistically through sound and through music. In fact, we're certainly, as believers, certainly not the only ones who've noticed this component of it. No, Friedrich Nietzsche, who is not exactly a God-loving person, he said, "Sing me a new song. The world is transfigured. All the heavens are rejoicing." I mean, even Nietzsche understood there's something about music that connects us to the transcendent. It's connecting us to something beyond ourselves. What he would have meant by that is obviously very, very different. But that actually sounds a lot like Psalm 40, doesn't it? At least some of the words. Psalm 40 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." There's something about this music, right? There's a picture of redemption here that then gives him a new song to sing. And but of course you could read it, but you could sing it. What's interesting, though, is that when Bono, right, he's singing a song after Psalm 40, it's called 40, when he sings that song, and what the psalmist is saying is not just that they're singing a literal song, right? Do you see what he's expressing there is a metaphor? He's saying, we're singing this new song, and the psalmist is saying, look, God has done something in my life. There is this work of redemption, of rescue, that then places this song in my heart. It's almost like there's this new melody that he's given. But he doesn't just mean to literally sing the song. It becomes what? It becomes an expression of his life. And you see this throughout the Psalms, that, you know, when we read the Psalms, because they were songs themselves, whenever it speaks of singing, you might think, well, they're just talking about, well, we should go and sing. You know, we should go to the synagogue, we should go to the temple, we should sing, there should be songs of praise. Yes, but actually, more than that, it's expressing something beyond, like, that actually becomes an expression of us, of our lives, of our hearts. And you see this throughout the Psalms. He says, but Psalm 5, he says, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. It doesn't mean, like, right then, sing the song, but it's a way of life. Sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. In fact, this is kind of a parallelism here. Sing for joy and rejoice in you. It doesn't mean only rejoice in that moment or only sing in that moment, but what does Paul say? Rejoice again always, right? We're always rejoicing. We're always singing. It's an expression of life itself. And in Psalm 59, he says, but I will sing of your strength. In the morning, I will sing of your love. He doesn't mean in the morning he's going to get up and sing the same song every morning. He's saying that this is a way of life that becomes a pattern for how he lives. In Psalm 63, this is interesting, and this is a good, this is helpful to understand that this idea of song, this metaphor, is an expression of our very existence, because it's existent in nature itself. Nature doesn't sing in the way that we think of singing, and yet, he says in Psalm 65, the meadows are covered with flocks and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and they what? They sing. All right. Jesus, when he's going to Jerusalem and everyone's chanting Hosanna, and he says, hey, if they're quiet, then the very rocks will what? They'll cry out. They'll sing out. He doesn't mean, and here's interesting. Now, does he mean that the rocks are literally going to start singing in that moment? Probably not. Actually, what he may be doing, I think, is he's actually making a statement about him as creator. These people are praising me. If they don't, hey, nature does it anyway, because he is the creator as God. Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Right? It's in our very existence. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. It's in the very existence of creation. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. You guys get the idea? Get the picture? Can close with this one. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. And so this becomes the picture of Scripture, or in Scripture, of our lives, that our lives themselves are an expression. And in a sense, our lives are song. Our lives are a piece of music that God is has given to each one of us to play, to sing. Which raises the question, and then what is your life's song? And what you see throughout the Psalms that you've just seen is that every time it talks about singing, it has to do with ultimately giving praise to God. This is our identity as being created in the image of God, that we reflect God in that our lives are the music of God, the expression of God's praise. Our lives are a song of music. St. Augustine said it well, speaking to God in his confessions, "You have made us for yourself." This is our very purpose. This is who he has created us to be. And the Apostle Paul picks this up again later, Romans 12. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Worship. And so all of this paints this picture that each of our lives should be a beautiful song of praise to God. That's what God has created us to be. That's who he has created us to be. That we are to be living all of our lives in worship and in praise of him. But it raises some questions. So let's talk about this for a second. First off, just real quick, because I'm going to be playing some music in the next few weeks as we go through this. And so I just need to get an idea of what's going to kind of resonate with you guys. So what songs, what typical types of music do you guys actually listen to? I'm just curious what kind of audience I'm dealing with here. Country? Got a few country people. Okay. All right. Rap. Rap? Got rap? Okay. A little bit. Lecrae, some Lecrae there. Okay. Some rap. What about worship anthem-y stuff, like Hillsong, Bethel Music? Got a number of those. Okay. Classic rock. Yeah, okay. Classic rock. Got a lot of classic rock. What am I missing?
Eighties hair metal.
I was gonna say, what is that?
Eighties hair metal.
I got one. A few. What about Def Leppard? Def Leppard. Okay. What blues? Got some blues. Some blues. Okay. Some jazz. A little bit of jazz. Okay. We got quite a mix. Classical, just straight up classical. Yeah, okay, good, because I'm going to come back to classical quite a bit. That'll be helpful. In some ways, I was a piano performance major in college for a little while, and until I realized that was not a good idea for me. And in the library, I worked in the music library to make money. Like, that was my side job. They had this cartoon up, and I wanted to find it, and I'd show it to you, but it was this cartoon of this recording studio. And there's a band, like a rock band, playing in the recording studio. And then there's maybe their agent or somebody like standing out there. And they're the people mixing. And he's standing there and he goes, "Okay, guys, that's great. Let's take it from the top this time with rhythm, dynamics, musicality, touch." Like, classical musicians understand that. So we'll talk some classical music. It actually is a helpful picture. What else? Any other kind of music I'm missing? Alternative rock, alternative, yeah. That was my beat on the way. Yeah, hey, The Greatest Showman. I know a lot about that now. So, some good stuff. What? Anything else? VeggieTales punk, ska. Anybody remember ska? That lasted half a heartbeat, thankfully. That was awful. Golly. Hey, who grew up singing like the traditional hymns? Anybody? Oh, wow.
Which tradition? Yeah.
Similar to this kind of stuff, like what we got here, no? Okay.
Verses 1, 2, and 5.
We did, hey, my church, we did every verse, my friend. We didn't, you know, I don't know what you guys were doing, you lightweights. Every verse. And none of this sitting down while you sang nonsense, you know? I've been in the traditional service here. We're way too easy on those poor old people, you know? Like, you stand. Stand up. Keep singing. You know? They're like passing out, you know? You're like falling over.
You realize that's recorded.
I know, but nobody will ever listen to it. It's okay. So, all right. So we got quite a mix here. So here's the next question that I have as we think about this. We're going to use music and song, again, we're going to use it as a framework. But that raises this other question. What are the what I'm going to use, metaphorical songs that we hear? Because here's the deal. Here's what I mean by this. If this is kind of abstract for you, just bear with me, put on your abstract hat. If our lives are song, if our lives are music to God, there's a lot of other songs that are being played, and not just by people, but just in the world, in society. And it seems to me that there's a lot of different songs that I'm being asked to sing along with. Does that make sense? There's a lot of different music that I'm being asked to play along with. Some of it is good, some of it is not as good. And so I just want to raise the question just for a minute here. Let's think about this. What are some of the songs that we hear in our society? And you can start, you know, if this is a little abstract, you can start with, think about the actual, like, go back to the literal songs. What kind of songs are there? You have love songs. You got revenge songs. You got greed songs. You got compassion songs. So that gives you, we hear the same kind of thing in society, it seems to me. Dr. Daniels.
Used to say, you deserve whatever you want.
Yeah, that's a very powerful song, isn't it? Yeah, I hear that one a lot.
You only live once songs.
Yeah, YOLO. There you go. Yep, only live once songs.
Horrible.
Everything's horrible.
My dog died.
Yeah.
So country.
No, that's, wait a minute. Oh, so we probably need to divide like country, right? Wait, I thought that could also be blues though. That could also be blues. You also have there's country and then there's, what's the other one? Western, right? Country Western, those are like two different things. My wife listens to country, she's not listened to country Western. Country Western, so country is like, it's like pop music only with a bit of a Southern accent. Yeah, that'd be country. And then country western is like honky. Yeah, it's like, I can't even do it. I'm trying to like do an impression. I think that'd be a disaster, so.
There's a comment in the back, and I think it's from your wife.
What's that, babe?
Oh, no, it's not babe.
Oh, Melissa, sorry. You're sitting next to babe.
Western
is what, yes, I've seen video of what Brady listens to and plays, and yeah, that would be Western.
A lot of sexual songs.
Yeah, lots of sexual songs, and all different themes, right? There's a lot on that, yeah.
I got money in the bank.
There are a lot of country songs, man. That just sounds like a country song. I got money in a bank, and my dog loves me. Yes, ma'am. You have a song? That's okay. That's all right. Yeah, Christine.
I'm trying to think like the pulse of our culture is like always an upbeat, very little rest in between beats.
Okay. So busy and yeah. Yeah. Club mix, techno, yeah. That's a good parallel there. Yeah. What else? What other themes? What are the melodies? What are the themes? The motifs of society? Yeah.
I think you have a lot of songs that reference trying to live your life your own way. You're not meant
autonomy.
Yeah. Live your life different.
Okay. So distinct. There's also probably an authoritary, commentary in there as well. It's like, well, it's my life to live and my own person and autonomy. Okay, so there's a number of different themes, and you guys have mostly brought out some negative ones. What are the if we put it this way, what are the themes that we go, these are good melodies, these are good motifs, we want more music like this, and I will sing along with that. What do you hear?
There's a lot of conversation right now about love.
Yeah, love is
fine, it's still like a very positive approach of loving and being loved and loving.
Yeah. And we have a And there's a tendency, I think, to go, oh, well, to sort of be dismissive of that and say, well, we love, and kind of mock it. But actually, there's a lot of positive in that. We shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater, if you will. Like, it is a good thing that we're talking about love. We just need to kind of steer around what does that mean and what does love really look like. Yeah.
Songs that are tributes, like American Pie.
Yeah.
Or songs that tell stories.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah, and there is a, one of the ways that we learn through music historically has been telling us about where we came from. So you see this in Scripture a lot, the songs that are sung. If you remember last summer, not this past summer, but the summer before, we went through a bunch of different songs in Scripture and looked at how God's people wrote songs as a way of remembering, and this is who we are as a people, this is where we come from, and we still do that today. And there's a lot of value in that, for sure. What else? Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, a lot of people who are vocal. Yeah,
Rachel. Not a song, but like when I think, what's my favorite song? It's The Laughter of My People. That is my favorite song.
That's a really good song. Yeah, it's a good track. I like that one. I like that one. That's good. That's good. So, okay, so something for, you know, sort of personal reflection is, which songs do you find yourself singing along with? Which melodies catch your ear and you find, oh man, that just... that resonates with me, both good and bad. For me, like the songs of joy, of, you know, the laughter of my family, of fulfillment and meaning, like those, man, those resonate with me. I very quickly find myself singing along with those, and that's not a bad thing. And then there's other songs that are self-absorption, those selfishness, like those songs, I also find I can sing along to really easily. Like those, that rhythm, it just works for me. So what are the songs that you find yourself most naturally singing to, both good and bad? And we're not going to, you don't have to share right now. I'm just saying this would be something for reflection. And I'll put all this in the notes as we go along. This would be a great conversation, by the way, with your spouse. So a lot of you are here in here with somebody. You know, have the conversation. Hey, what songs do you listen to? Or what songs do you find yourself, man, I'm drawn to that? And there's a lot of good and there's a lot of maybe not so good. And the other question is then what are the melodies, what are the songs that we're teaching our kids? We talk a lot about, or I try to talk a lot about this idea of the culture of our family. It's more than just the words that we're giving our kids. And now using this metaphor, what are the songs, right, that make up the culture of your family? Maybe the literal songs that you want to sing with your kids that teach them about God, that teach them about how life should be, but just also the themes of your family. Are they learning through the songs that you're singing truly, like, discipline? Are they learning self-control? Are they learning the fruits of the Spirit? Or are they also learning materialism? Are they also learning self-interest. What are the songs of your family? So again, something to discuss with your family. Yeah, John.
I'm sorry to...
No, you're fine.
I also think it also depends on how you listen to the song, because there's also, like, for instance, just as a contrast.
Yeah.
Like, the way that Lisa listens to songs is exactly kind of what you're talking about. She listens to the words and what they're actually saying.
Mm-hmm.
When I grew up, I really more didn't listen to the actual lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think sometimes a lot of people get hooked on a phrase or the whatever the chorus is of the song. And even though the chorus may actually say something what seems to be positive, the actual words in the rest of the song may be negative.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where it's all just based upon how you listen to it.
Because if, yeah,
if something has a really cool beat and the reason why you listen to it is because of how it sounds, then, you know,
yeah,
maybe you're not really listening to everything you should be.
Yeah, so you know, in a literal sense, this is why, you know, I mean, I grew up in a time and in a culture where there was this big debate over, like, what kind of music is appropriate for Christians to listen to. Maybe some of you resonate with that, some of you don't. And a lot of the conversation was, okay, well, what are the lyrics? And then some of it went into, like, what is the beat and some of those things as well. And I think that those things are all important, like, what I'm interested in is how my kids are listening to them. Like, are they listening to them in a way that's discerning? Are they old enough to listen to them in a way that's discerning? Can they listen to it and go, "This, there's real value in this"? Or, you know, it's just a matter of, like, having wisdom how you listen to the music. What I found as I've gotten older, I had a pastor, and it was really interesting. He told me one time, Carrie and I really grew up under, and he came to faith later in life, and he was explaining that he had this box of records. And it was like all the, I don't even know who the classics would have been in his day. I have no idea. But it was like from the 50s or something. And so these were the guys that he grew up listening to. And he said, I keep it in my closet. And I said, do you ever listen to it? He goes, oh, no. But I don't throw them out either. And I thought, that's a fascinating statement. Like, here's somebody who, in a sense, remembers everything that, you know, he had listened to and appreciated it. But as he got older, it was like, yeah, I don't really want to go listen to it again. And it's funny, I've sort of found that for myself as well. I grew up listening to a lot of, just don't judge me, I listened to a lot of alternative rock. So like Smashing Pumpkins is one of my favorite bands. I still, in a sense, like I still would say, oh, I love the Smashing Pumpkins. I gotta be honest, I don't listen to them like ever, you know? And if I do, I'm kind of like, well, that was nice. It's like, I think there's a maturing process when it even comes to like literal music. In another sense, as we talk about songs within society, I think there's a lot of parallels here that there are songs that when we're young, we attach ourselves to. And as parents, what we want to do is one, we're supposed to outgrow those, but two, we're supposed to help like lead our kids through that. It's okay if they have a stage where they really like VeggieTales, but at some point we're hoping that they're going to kind of grow out of that, right? My kids really like, you know, A Million Dreams. I'm really hoping they're going to grow out of that really fast because it's just killing me. it's like every, anyway. So we're talking about like, what are these songs that your kids are learning? What are you teaching your and then also, again, what are the songs that you know your kids are being exposed to? You know, it's not just what you're teaching them, that's really important, but then what are the songs that they're being exposed to? I listen very carefully to how my son's coaches coach them. Because I really care about the messages that they're being instructed on. What songs are they being asked to play along with that they're being asked to sing? And then here's the question that I think is, you know, our lives are one song, but in another sense, if you're classically trained, you'll understand this. There's, I listen to classical music, there's movements. Every song doesn't sound the same, okay? Think of it as a playlist. If you used to own albums once upon a time, there would be different songs within that album. So what is a playlist that's titled Jesus or worship? What songs would be under that? We're going to come back to that in a later lesson, but that's something to think about. What would that sound like in life? And then the question that we're all supposed to come back to is just, if you look at your life and you look at your playlist, what would you title it? So if Jesus is the title of my playlist, then what song should be in there? Now let me look at the songs I have and what is my title? I thought it was titled Jesus, but that doesn't actually make sense at all. So something to think about. As we wrap up, let me tell you where we're headed. Over the next few weeks, we're going to we're going to talk about music, we're going to talk about song, and we're going to use it as a framework for thinking about spiritual growth. And because life, like music, is not just a matter of the notes. It's not just a matter of knowing the right words. It's so much more than that, right? It's rhythm and melody and phrasing and tempo and dynamics and all of this interwoven to create this one song or this one playlist of our lives. And so what we want is to not just, you know, we don't want to just know the words of the song. The goal is to sing. It's not just to know the notes, it's to make music. And ultimately, it's to play by heart. We begin to understand the rhythm and the notes and the words and all of that, and then you get where you don't need to read it anymore. This is who you are. God is changing and shaping your heart. So I give you last example. The doxology, these are powerful words. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, you heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And yet we all know that if you sing it, maybe. It's better.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, you
So that's what we're going to talk about. That's where we're headed. I hope you guys will join us. We're going to do this for September and October. And next week, we're going to talk about learning the notes, because we got to start there. We're going to close. I just want to quickly, Tim and September, would you guys come up for a second? Most of you know Tim and September James, and they've been part. Dang it, you guys are really tall. I'm going to sit. Can you guys both sit down? We're not videoing this, so it's okay. These guys have been part of our church for a really long time, and I mean, you were some of the first people I think Carrie and I met when we got here, and like right up there, because we
2007,
something like that. Okay. So they help lead the young couples class that is no more, but for a long time that was a really kind of a
this room.
It was a staple in this church. It was important for a lot of us.
For the five families that were here.
Every
the five young couples.
Yeah, there was more than that, but it did. And I was so shocked because I remember when Chuck and Chelsea started coming and a few others, and it was so weird. They came every Sunday. I was like, what are you people doing? Do you know that it's like, that's just not normal. It was awesome. And you guys were there every week, and they helped lead that class. And then have just been involved at Grace for a really long time. And so this is their last Sunday. They're moving to Weatherford. I don't even know where that is. But
it's just an hour. That's all. It's only an hour.
Yeah.
Just go in 20 and keep going.
Just keep going.
Yeah.
I'm going to come check it out. But we're going to miss them. And I just want to pray for them as they're heading out. And then everybody say goodbye, okay? We'll see you, I'm sure. Yeah. Let me pray for you guys. Lord, I just thank you for Tim and September. I thank you for their family, and I thank you for just the history that we've had over the last several years and getting to know them and serve alongside them and go to Guatemala with Tim, and incredible trip, and so many other experiences. And God, I just thank you for them. I thank you for their faithfulness to this church. They have served so faithfully. They've just been everything and done everything that they possibly could because they love your body. They love your family. And Lord, I pray for them in this move. Lord, I pray your hand of blessing upon them, that this would just be an incredibly great adventure. That as they go over there and they get settled into their new home and their kids get settled and make new friends and they get plugged into a new church, Lord, I just pray that it would be, Lord, everything that you want it to be. Lord, it would be an adventure. It would be challenging. It would be growing and stretching. But it also just be joyful and fun and something that they will always treasure. So, Lord, I just thank you for them. Please provide for all of their needs, especially in this transition time of moving. It's always crazy. Just pray that you would just, just continually demonstrate your faithfulness and your presence in their lives. And we just love them. Thank you for how you have just kept us together for so long now. But then sometimes you send us away too. And we just pray all this in your son's name. Amen.